That was fantastic. It was a fantastic game. Without staying up all night. Correct.
David, you're from Boston? You're from New England?
I'm not. I was not going for the Patriots. I was going for the
Eagles. California. You couldn't care less.
I was going for the Eagles. I just didn't think they had a chance. But anyway, very good. Here we go. Laman Aleph from Beis Bez Hashem. We are on the Mishnah. Because Rabbi Kaplan over here was good enough to get me to the Mishnah and not leave me in the middle of a sugya. I didn't know what he was going to do, but if you left me in the middle of the sugya, I would have picked up with there. But anyway, we got through all the psukim. How was it with all the psukim? Is it okay? I mean, it wasn't so pashut. They weren't so pashut. I'm saying the Gemara wasn't bad, but the psukim weren't so pashut.
Right. Well, if you have art scroll and you have
still, I appreciate it.
Look it up each one, but I mean,
you're supposed to tell me that you stagged and you put in, you sweat and you know all your blood, sweat, and tears. Anyway, Lamaisa,
fun Gemara, actually.
What?
It wasn't such a hard amud.
It wasn't a hard amud, but and it was a lot of fun. Now we're back to some really good Gemaras here. This is a very interesting amud today, and we should take us no longer than 32 minutes. We're on 31B.
Yeah.
We're at the Mishnah that says Amar Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. What we've seen before is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has made a series of takanos already. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Karcha starts off our Mishnah by saying Va'odzos hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There is a further takana Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made, which is Shafila Rosh Bezdin b'chol makom. Even if the Rosh Bezdin, who normally declares the new moon, he is the one who says Mekudesh Mekudesh, but if he's somewhere else at the time of Kiddush HaChodesh, where the Eidim would come in, we did not make the Eidim go, follow him wherever he was going. If he was taking a vacation in Sfat, they did not have to follow him to his vacation spot, to his five-star hotel. They had to go to wherever Sanhedrin was located. That was all they had to do. They did not have to follow him, even though technically the Kiddush HaChodesh is dependent on him. He's the one who declares it. Nevertheless, he signs off that he allows Bezdin Sanhedrin to create the new month. They can say Mekudesh Mekudesh.
He signs off that the Bezdin as a whole can.
That's the other words. Those were pretty much my words, actually. Yeah.
They weren't really other words. Email.
What?
It's a digital email. He signs.
Digital. Yeah. It's exactly. It's an e-signature. It's an e-signature.
So it is
IRS accepted.
I was thinking, why would he take off like that if they know they need him?
Listen, everybody needs a vacation at some point. I mean, I gotta tell you, he's over the load.
Wait for off the Rosh Chodesh. Like, you know that they're waiting for him so that they can.
He's got a billion things on his mind. What is this? You're gonna give him certain dates he can't take off? I mean, there's a union going on here. He's gonna, you know.
If you didn't take his vacation, you would have lost it. So.
Right, exactly. Use it or lose it. It's a use it or lose it situation. So, you know, and the unions and everything, there's too much going on. You can't limit him. It's not right. It's very litigious. I don't want to get into it. It's very litigious. Anyway, Lamaisa, he took off. What do you want me to say? I don't know. He had a bad stomach. I don't know. He was on vacation. He was on personal leave. I don't know. He's doing a bar mitzvah. Face. Any other options? What? He's sick. I don't know. What? All right. Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, a little story. Hahi itza, there was this woman, the Azmanuha Ladina Kamida Amemar. She was invited, really, she was forced to come to din in front of Amemar, in Naharda. Azal Amemar le Mechuzah, but Amemar went to Mechuzah. He, this was a trick play. This was a, hike it to the receiver and then lateral it back to the running back and throw it to Foles kind of play. So he was already in Mechuzah. She came to Nahardai. Velo Az Basrei. She didn't go after him to Mechuzah. She stayed in Naharda. Kasav Psicha Ilava. So what did he do? Amemar put her in Chayrim. He put her in Chayrim because she didn't come to him. Amali Ravashi la Amemar. Ravashi said to Amemar, "How can you do this?" V'hanan Tanam. We just learned in the Mishnah. Afilu Rosh Bez demchol makom shliyo edim hoch in lamakom avad. The edim only have to go to lamakom avad. So why is this any different? We should say that just like you're normally in Mechuzah. Sorry, just like you're normally in Narda. So she should have to go to Narda. Why does she have to follow you to Mechuzah?
She's the equivalent of the Edom.
What?
She's the equivalent of Edom, even though she's a witness. She's a Baal Din.
Yeah, she's a Baal Din. which is why he's going to make that distinction. Okay. But the claim, Ravashi's claim, is that she should be no different than Edim. But Amemar's response, Amar Lei, no. Hani mili l'inyo Edu Sachodesh. Vis-a-vis Edu Sachodesh, we're not going to be makbid and make them come after the Rosh Bezdin. The Im Kei Nimses Merchin Lasad Lovel. Because if you're going to make them go to wherever the Avbezdin is, they're going to have to follow him. They're going to have to make a... He's going out of Germany. They have to go on Lufthansa. Just believe me, it's the last thing, last airline you want to go on. Anyway, you're going to make him do that. So they're not going to come. They're going to say, forget about it. I have to follow the Rosh Bezdin around. It's not worth it for me to come testify about the new moon. But over here, I'll tell you, this woman was a borrower of funds, and the lender was bringing her to court. She was a baal din, and eved lovel ish malve. The love is an eved, is a slave to the malve. So that wherever the malve says to do it, that's where you got to do it. In this case, the ameimar is the dayan, and he says you got to come to this place where I am in Mechuza in order to be done the case. She's got to come to Mechuza. There's no option over there. She's a slave.
How did she get the message?
It was a courier. It was a UPS.
In other words, old-fashioned courier.
Pony Express.
Came and told both litigants.
Yes. Do you want the name of the person who told her? No. I don't know
if it's listed.
No. It's not listed. Yeah. General principle. Pony Express. That's your answer. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Ein kohanim reshayin lalos b'sandalehen l'duchen. The kohanim are not allowed to get up to duchen in their sandalim. Yes? Mm-hmm. You are in agreement with that.
Yeah.
Harav Cohen, good.
Although I have seen
Kohanim in the sun.
I've seen Kohanim with, what are they called?
You know, Crocs?
Crocs.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen Kohanim.
Really? Go Greece. Up in Crocs?
Yeah.
Wow, did you ask the Rav Milinowitz about that?
Not here, somewhere else.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy
moly. I mean, I always took my I don't think it's
telling on whether it has straps or not, even though the Gemara in Sota says that they have to go barefoot because they might have straps that got untied, and a Kohen will get down from the Duchen to tie them, and people are going to think, oh, he got down from the Duchen because he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza.
Yeah, but
and that doesn't apply to Crocs. You know why? Maybe they allowed the Crocs because the Crocs are very holy. Get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, more sandals.
But what they used to wear? They used to wear these sandalim. They used to wear sandal-like shoes.
Right.
You know.
I mean, you know, there's no.
All right, I don't know.
Today,
What shul was it? You want to put that out there?
Don't. There may be some. With
you think it's something else? You think it's a
straps.
What?
So, there may be some with straps, and maybe some without straps.
What are you talking about?
I think the sandals. Okay,
but I'm talking about the Crocs.
The individual that I saw do this.
Yeah.
There were no straps in there.
It was Crocs.
Yeah.
It was a slide on, a slide off.
Yeah.
But even the slide on, slide off, so you're supposed to take those things off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't recall the basis for why you would take something that's not strapped off, but you're supposed to do it.
Right, yes, but I think it's a low plug. I think they don't make a distinction. The Chachamim don't make a distinction whether it has laces or don't have laces. The original Takana was because of the laces, but
yeah.
They're not going to make a distinction between shoes that have laces and shoes that do not. So they say no shoes. That would be my assumption of the din. At any rate, this is very interesting, and I have now we have to raise this to Reb Milinowitz. I think we should stop the shiur and email Reb Milinowitz and then wait for a response.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Anyway. This is one of nine takanos that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made. Shista hai pirka, the chad of the pirka kama. There are six in this perek, one in the previous perek. The idach, so then you got a total of seven. right? Six in this parak, one in the previous. Six plus one equals seven. Thank you very much.
No problem.
This is our numbers guy. The idach, and what is the other ones? The other two takanas that he made. Desanya, one of them is gershin is gayer bizmanazeh, a ger that is misgayer in these days. Tzorach shliyafrish ruba lekino. He has to be mafrish. He has to set aside a quarter of a shekel, which is a half a dinner, lekino, for his Khan, for his birds, because we know back in the day when a ger wanted to be misgayer, he needed to bring a korban. You need three things in order to be misgayer. You need mila, you need tvila, and you need havas korban. Where do we learn that from?
Kabbalah Satorah. Right?
Parshas?
Israel, Mishpatim.
Mishpatim.
This week's parsha. Right.
Amazing.
It says the end of the parsha that they brought.
Chatzi Adam Zarakal and Mizbeach. What?
They only bring a seaport, they only bring a bird?
They bring two birds.
Oh, really? Not like a cow or a goat?
Two birds, that's all it takes. Two birds, one of them being an eagle. Just kidding. All right.
No, it says here that the minimum is two birds.
Wow, there is a minimum. Very good. Let's say again.
The cheapest.
$2. Okay, I didn't know that.
Didn't have to be birds.
It didn't have to be birds. It could have been something more expensive. So there you have it. I thought it was. That's the bare minimum. it didn't say that. Rashi didn't say that as I saw. 1 second. Sagile ba'olu asa'of. Yeah, sagile. It's enough to have an olas of, but Taka, you can have more. Okay, I stand corrected.
Rashi puts this week's parasha. Vayizrok.
Very good. There it is. It's in this week's parasha. You see, everything works out. It's amazing. So anyway. Amr of Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar said on this takan, on this brisa, Kvar nimna alea Rav Yochanan bitla mipnei hatakala. Rav Yochanan Zakai, he got up already and he said, no, we're not going to have this hafrasha. We don't need to make somebody nowadays be mafresh a rova hashekel because of a takala. What's a takala? What's the stumbling block that you're offering this guy? The stumbling block is that the guy is going to set aside the Rova Akav, he's going to come back a month later, he's going to see a half a shekel, and he's going to, a quarter of a shekel, half a dinner, and he's going to say, oh, let me use it. He's going to go out to the store and spend it. Meanwhile, that was Hufrush for a future Korban, when the Bezman should be some English guy.
Somebody else, his wife or his kids, could see the money. And
wife
and
kids.
For.
Could be somebody else. Could be the dog. Could be the cat.
David, what you just said, the quarter of a shekel, slowly, because I read this and I'm not understanding.
What part of it?
What you're saying? He set aside already the birds, right?
The money for the birds.
Oh, he set aside.
Bizman Azeh, you can't bring the birds. There's no bizbeach. There's no Beis Hamikdash. So you set aside a quarter of a shekel, which is a half a dinner.
Yeah.
Right. Dinar, not a dinner, right?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Dinner allowance.
He already set it aside, and then what?
Well, the original halacha was you set it aside, and you wait for the Beis Hamikdash to be built. You just sit in your lazy boy, and you just wait and wait and wait.
No, wait. It just has
to. Yeah, he's never going to become Jewish that way. He sits there and waits.
No.
Wait. Definite period.
No. As long as he sets it aside, he's Megayer based on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Geiris will work.
So after his Geiris, then he sees this.
I'm going to go spend it. And by accident, and he's going to be in violation of something which belongs, which is huktosh, which is already sanctified.
Shouldn't it work that if he's setting it aside, he should give it to the best in.
Good point.
He should give it to the best in. It's set aside. Okay, he's committed it. He can't take it back. Okay, finished.
I don't know the answer. It's an excellent question.
Should he?
I don't. What?
Should, but
that's such an easy solution. I don't know why they didn't do that. I don't know why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to say mipnei atakala we're gonna be mavatel this halacha when why don't we just have
this
him set aside?
At the Sanhedrin level, right?
It doesn't have to be.
No,
what do you mean?
I'm saying, in this case, they're discussing it in Sanhedrin, not
Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was part of the Sanhedrin, but okay. I don't know why couldn't they be misakin very simply that they give it over to a Bezdin. I mean, are they afraid that the Bezdin is also going to be nichshol in the takala? That's kind of shver. No.
All right. Don't they have treasuries?
Treasuries.
They take fees for cases.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know the answer.
Decree that you have to do it. It would even be till today, even nowadays.
Yeah.
Even till today. It says in the Gemara, so that's even Bezman Hazeh, which we do now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't have an answer. You're asking a very good question. It's a very good question. Yoshiklach, Viter. That was takana number 8 of Yochanan ben Zakkai. He got rid of this whole Rova Shekel business. V'idach, what's the final and ninth and final takana?
Bottom of the ninth.
This is a machloikis between Rav Papa and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. V'idach plugs to Rav Papa, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Papa Amar, Kerem Ravai. The issue was, it was a takana of Kerem Ravai. Now, normally when it comes to Kerem Ravai, which is a fourth year vineyard, okay, so let's say you had a grape vineyard, and for the first 3 years it's considered Arla, and you're not allowed to get any Hana, you can't do Achila or Hana from it. On the fourth year, you may get Hana from it, provided that either you bring it to Yerushalayim to eat, or you're poda it on money, and you bring the money into Yerushalayim v'chule. So you can be poda it, eat it outside of Yerushalayim, provided that you're poda it on money and bring the money into Yerushalayim. But says the Gemara, and for those of you who are very sharp, this is a Gemara in Beitza. So he says like this. Rav Papa Amar Kerem Ravai, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Lashon Shel Zahoris. The takana was the Lashon Shel Zahoris. Now the Gemara is going to go through what these two takanas were, and then it'll go through why Rav Nachman Yitzchak didn't like Rav Papa's takana, Rav Nachman Ben Zakkai, and why didn't Rav Papa like Rav Nachman Yitzchak's? You just gave the whole thing away.
No, I'm saying there's no
resolution. Gave the whole thing away. We'll pick up on Monday.
Take-o.
There's no resolution in the end.
Yeah,
you're right.
Usually me.
There is no resolution.
Still, it's important to learn it tomorrow.
I appreciate that. All right, we're back. We're back, guys. All right,
change.
Fine. All right, it's very interesting, Amar. It's worth learning, even though there is no maskana. Okay, very good. So anyway, Rav Papa Amar Kerem Ravai. What's the case of Kerem Ravai? The Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Kerem Ravai Haya Ola Yerushalayim Mahalach Yom Lechotzad. There was a halacha that they made, that if you lived within 1 day's journey to Yerushalayim, you were not allowed to be podeh your Kerem Ravai, your fourth year grapes. You're not allowed to be podeh them on money. Why? Because the Gemara in Beitza says, because they wanted to be mahader, the Shuki Yerushalayim, to be ma'ater, Shuki Yerushalayim, beperos. They wanted the Shukim of Yerushalayim to have fruits. They wanted to have just tons and tons of fruits to make it beautiful for the Oli Regalim. So, they said, if you live within a 1 day's journey to Yerushalayim, we're not going to allow you to be poda on cash. We're going to make you bring it into Yerushalayim. What were the boundaries of this 1 day's journey, in case you're wondering? So the Gemara says, the Zuhi Tchuma, these are the boundaries of the 1 day's journey. Eilat min ha-darom, it should be darom. Eilat from the south. No, it's not modern day Eilat. It's not modern day Eilat. Va'akrivas min ha-safon, akrivas northward, north of Yerushalayim. Lud min ha-marav, Lud from the west. V'yardein min ha-mizrach, and the Yardein from the east. Those were the borders surrounding Yerushalayim that were considered a 1 day's journey. The Amar Ula, v'item Rava Bar Ula. Ula says, and some people say it was actually Ula's son, Rabba Bar Ula, Amar of Yochanan, Ma Tam, Kidei La'atu Yishuk Yishlaim Beperus. Now this Gemara said it also. But the reason for this whole takana, that you had to bring your fruits into Yerushalayim, was because they wanted to be Ma'atir Shuki Yerushalayim Beperos. They wanted to make Yerushalayim beautiful with fruit, smelling good and looking good. What?
Okay. Question. You're bringing your parents into Yerushalayim for Are you bringing it for your enjoyment, or are you bring?
No.
Or is it an option?
To sell
your enjoyment, or to sell it to the show?
I understand. You let sell these pears that you bring.
Because the Gemara, you know, the Mishnah is saying the you know, to beautify the shuk.
Yeah, but you're saying if it's going to be eaten, what's the beautification?
Yeah. Meaning
okay, I don't know.
They
I don't
have
know.
The option either to eat it themselves. Or
I want to say it can be sold as long as it stays within Yerushalayim.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember. I seem to remember a Mishnah in Maestros or Maestros Sheni about this. Maestros Sheni, that as long as it's brought into Yerushalayim and doesn't leave Yerushalayim, then you can do what you want with it. I believe so, but I could be wrong.
Seems to me that would be an important point.
Yeah, otherwise you're not being ma'ater. But it could still be that you're being ma'ater because you're bringing the payros in Lamaisa.
Yeah, right.
You're bringing it there, so it's still...
You're a guest, you don't have a house there, so you're...
Right,
you're
so you're, right, yeah, so it's not necessarily so, but I would... If I had to guess, which I'm doing right now, then I would say that you can sell it as long as it stays in Yerushalayim. I don't see why...
Two sheets, one is that for eating...
Yeah.
And the other one is for selling.
Oh, very good.
Wait, there's
there
a
you
third.
Have it.
There's a third.
Hold on.
Okay. Eating yourself.
No, you should
selling.
Not eat yourself. That
no.
You,
that.
You may want to ask the shell on that
page. No, wait.
Yeah.
I was saying eating yourself, selling to the shuk, or as a gift to wherever you're staying.
All right. Any other possibilities? could be a lot of things.
All right.
I think it could be a lot of things.
Yeah, you got clean for Shabbos.
Well, we got clean for Shabbos. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Fat lines.
Vitanya. This is going to go very fast. Vitanya. And there's a brayso that says, Kerem Ravai Hayalala Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer had a vineyard, Bemizrach Lud, east of Lud. Now, we remember that Lud was the western border. So if he had a Kerem Ravai in east of Lud, he's within that one day's journey. Bitzad Kfar Tevi, in the wherever Kfar Tevi is, I don't know where that is nowadays. Ubikish Rabbi Eliezer Hafkir Laniyim. Rabbi Eliezer did not. No. Okay. What? What? All right. At any rate, Rabbi Eliezer did not feel like, or did not have the wherewithal. Or the resources to bring his Kerem Ravai into Yerushalayim. So what did he do? He wanted to be mafker them to the Aniyim, so that he wouldn't have to bother, he wouldn't have to worry about bringing them in. Amru lo Talmidav, his Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, Kvar nimnu chaveirecha, your chaveirim already gather convened, vihiti ruhu, and they were matur this whole takana. Man chaveirecha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was that chaver that the Talmidim were saying. So it was actually Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana that was matur this whole requirement of Kerem Ravai. So that, according to Rav Papa, was the ninth and final takana that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made, was to undo the halacha of the Kerem Ravai within one day's journey. What was the other possibility? So they told him that you don't have to be mafkir because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, your chaver, was already a matir this. Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, no. The takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was actually something different. It was Lashon Shel Zahoris. It was the crimson strand, the crimson string that got tied on half.
Alabama, the crimson tide.
Oh, that's right,
the crimson tide.
Very good. So the string, the crimson string that was tied half on the Seir Mishtaleach, or the Seir LaZazel, and half, as we'll see, some. Let's see. But they did half of the ulam or the whole thing in the ulam? Okay, here we go. Desanya, we're going to see it right now. Desanya, as we see in a braisa, Barishona Hayokoshin, Loshin Shel Zahoris, Al Pesach, Ulam Bibachutz. You're right. In the beginning, they would tie the entire Loshin Shel Zahoris on the Pesach ulam, right, basically right outside of the Makom HaMikdash, where everybody could see it. And people would stare at this crimson string to see if it would turn white. Because Hilbin Hayus Mechin, if it turned white, they'd be happy because they knew that their sins were forgiven. Lo Hilbin Hayu Tzavin. But if it did not turn white, then they would be very sad. Why would they be sad? Because they would know that their sins were not forgiven. So
well,
Hizkinu,
that seems to me that's connected. The niggin, Marin Kohen, because that's done after in the sequence.
After he takes a what?
After it's found that he came out.
I don't
he
think
came
so.
Out alive.
I don't think so. I don't think that this. I don't know at what point. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I don't think this string was tied at that point. I think the string was tied. The string was tied to the Pesach Ulam, and it turned white when the Seir went out. Not when the Kohen Gadol was doing his thing inside the Kodesh Kodashim.
No. I'm saying when the Kohen... After
they were singing Mari Kohen when he got...
When he came out.
Right, they were singing when he came out.
Yeah, that's so what I'm saying.
What did that have to do with the string?
The string turning white kind of corresponds with... That no. The Kohen made it through the service and he emerged alive.
I don't think so.
I mean, you know.
I don't think so.
Philosophically,
no.
Don't
get philosophical on me. Don't get philosophical on me. This is Gemara.
I'm
not getting philosophical now. I don't think you're right. I don't think the Lashon Shel Zahoris had anything to do with that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Kapar of Klal Yisrael was Tully in the.
And I'm not basing this. I'm not basing this on any Gemara, Mishnah, whatever. It seems to connect
okay.
to me.
I don't know if you're right. I don't know if you're right. You could be right, but this requires further research. Anyway, Hizkinu, because they would get too happy, or because they would get sad if it didn't work. Hizkinu, they made a takana. They made a takana. We'll see that was according to Rabbi Yochanan. It was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who made this takana that they would tie it into the Pesach Ulam Mibifnim on the inner side of the Pesach Ulam, so that people really couldn't see it so well. But people would still gaze in there. They would be like sneaking in there to get a glimpse. And they would look inside and see if it turned white, they'd be happy. If it didn't turn white, they'd be sad. So the takana didn't work. So therefore, Hizkinu, therefore, they made a takana. They would cut it in half. They would put half of it on, tie half of it to a rock, and half of it between the horns of the Seir HaMishtaleach. Interesting. All right, it's the Seir HaMishtaleach, Taka. It wasn't the Seir LaZazel. That was Seir HaMishtaleach. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It's the same thing. I stand corrected. I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe not. The Seir LaHashem stayed. The Seir HaMishtaleach was LaZazel. Yeah, totally. What? Well, Shechted. That was already Shechted. That stayed in the Mikdash. It stayed in the Mikdash that was slaughtered already. Very good. All right, we're back. Seir HaMishtaleach. That was the Seir LaZazel. Fine. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So that was, according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the takana, the final takana that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made was that they would take the string, cut it in half, put half of it on the Seir HaMishtaleach, half of it on the Sela, Vizehu Vizehi. That was the whole takana. Now, keep that in mind, because Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my time with Rav Papa, why did Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak not like Rav Papa's suggestion that the final takana of Yochanan and Zakkai was that we're going to do away with this Mahalich Yom Echad, this Kerem Revai business? Why didn't he like that? So Amar Lach, he said to him, he would say to you, I'll tell you why I don't like that. Because Isak Adaitech Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if you're going to tell me that the person who made that takana was in fact Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, then Chaver of Rabbi Eliezer Mihava, was he really the Chaver of Rabbi Eliezer? See, the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer said, Kvar Nimnu Alecha Chaverecha. Your Chaver was convening about this. So it sounds like they were telling him that your Chaver is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was not the Chaver Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbo Hava, he was his Rebbe. So why would the Talmidim say Chaverecha if in fact it was his Rebbe? So that's a good question. Why would, how can Rav Papa understand this? So says the Gemara, V'idach, what does Rav Papa respond? Rav Papa responds, no. I'll tell you why the Talmidim called Rav Yochim and Zakkai Rabbi Eliezer's Chaver, and not his Rebbe. Because Kevin the Talmidim Havu, since they were the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer, Lav Orach Ara, it would be very chutzpadik, it would not be kavadik, L'meimer Leila Rabbe, Rabcha, to say to your Rebbe that your Rebbe said to you something, made a different takana. It would be kind of degrading to tell Rabbi Eliezer that your Rebbe made a takana on something that you don't even know about. So, therefore, the Talmidim chose the word chaverecha, but really taka, it is not a chaver, but really his Rebbe. That's what Rav Papa says. Now, why Rav Papa, my time alone with Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Papa, why didn't he say like Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak? So Amar Lach, he says to him, he would say to you, I'm going to give you the following math. I'm going to give you three brises. I'm going to present to you three brises that's going to prove to you that the last takana of the Lashon Shel Zahoris could not have been made by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Why? So he says like this.
The last takana
of Lashon Shel Zahoris, of the string.
String.
Rabbi Nachman ben Yitzchak's suggestion, it can't be accurate. It cannot be Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who made that takana. Because Isak Adai Tachor Yochanan ben Zakkai, if you're going to say that in fact the takana was made by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bimei Rachman ben Zakkai, mi have a Lashon Shel Zahoris. Would the Lashon Shel Zahoris turn white in his times? I would tell you that no. The Lashon Shel Zahoris was essentially inactive at that time. It didn't do what it used to do in the times that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was making a takana. How do we know that? Because Ve'atanya, we have a brisa. Brisa number one says, Kol Shnosov Shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai may have Esrim Shana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived a total of 120 years. Mem Shana Asak Beprakmatia. The first 40 years he spent in business. I guess he was also, nursing and whatnot and growing up. But part of that was, the first 40 years was essentially business related. Mem Shana Lamad. 40 years he was learning. I don't really understand how you learn this brisa. It's very, very strange. I mean, all the Gemaras say you never just do business and ignore your learning. You know, because you don't know how long you're going to live.
Yeah,
so what?
I don't think that's what I mean.
So what does it mean?
He worked for 40 years. He was learning
based on Shalosa, but he was working.
Yeah.
Whereas the second...
He was a balabas.
He was a balabas.
He was a little baby.
He was doing...
6 months old. He was the businessman. He was like
one
day old.
No.
The first 40 years of his life.
The first 40 years of his life.
You're not being a businessman when you're first born.
Right.
Well...
The first 40 years were spent not
full-time learning.
Let's say he was a balaba. He was learning Dafa Shavua. He was doing Dafa Shavua. Then, Mem Shana Lamad. Then for 40 years, between the years of 41 and 80, he was learning. He was full-time learning, right? Kolo. He was doing Daf Yomi. Yeah, he was really doing Daf Yomi really well, not the way that other people do it. But he was doing it really well. And then Mem Shama Limit. And then for the last 40 years, he was teaching Torah. He was giving Daf Yomi Shir. And those last 40 years were when he was making takanos, because that's when he was teaching, he was preaching and giving takanos. So that's the first brisa and the Vetanya. And we have another brisa that says Mem Shana
Kodesh. Wait a minute.
Oh man, we cannot stop. This is perfect. No, we gotta stop right now. You can't stop me. Okay, I'm on a roll. Vetanya. You can stop me when we finish this Amud. Vetanya. And we have another brisa that says Mem Shana Kodem Shenechra Vabayis, 40 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Lo Haya Lashon Shel Zahoris Malbin. The Lashon Shel Zahoris was no longer white. It no longer turned white. So this is already 40 years before the Churban Bayis. There was no longer a Lashon Shel Zahoris turning white. Elamadim. Rather, it either turned red or stayed red. Machlokes. It's two understandings of what that means. But at any rate, it was red. It never turned white. Utnan, and we have a third source, a mission that says Mishachar of Abayis, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was making takanos. So now, if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was making takanos after the Churban Bayis, And we know that he was only making takanos for 40 years. So if he was making takanos after the Churban Bayis, then if you rewind 40 years, you'll find that you're still within the 40 years before the Churban Bayis. And therefore, the Lashon Shel Zahoris wasn't turning white anymore. So how can it be that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana to switch the string from the Ulam HaBayis and put it on the rock and on the Seir when it wasn't working anyway? Because we know it wasn't working 40 years before the Churban Bayis. And already, even after the Churban Bayis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was making takanos. So it means the most you can say, Rashi wants to learn it like this, the most you can say is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was making takanos between 39 years before the Churban Bayis and 1 year after the Churban Bayis, or something like that. Or 38 and 2 years. His last 40 years were spent making takanos and teaching Torah. So let's say 39 years before the Churban Bayis and 1 year after the Churban Bayis, or 38 years before the Churban Bayis and 2 years after the Churban Bayis. But the point is, if 40 years before the Churban Bayis, the Lashon Shel Zahoris stopped whitening, why would he need to make a takana? This is like a simple mathematics that Rav Papa is presenting here. It doesn't make any sense. What?
Maybe he was making a takana for when the Beis Hamikdash would be rebuilt.
Wait a minute. The takana was to do away with the string altogether. Right?
No, the takana was to put the string on the Seira Mishtaleach, on the goat, on the goat and on the rock, outside of Yerushalayim. That was his takana. That was his final takana.
Okay, on the goat outside Yerushalayim and a rock outside Yerushalayim.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, not in Yerushalayim, not in the Beit HaMikdash.
No, so nobody could see it. He didn't want anybody seeing it. He didn't want anybody getting upset if it stayed red, or getting happy if it was...
Okay.
Happy and lightheaded.
So wait a minute. Therefore, you're saying that was his final takana, right?
Yes. I'm saying that's what Rav Nachman is suggesting his last takana was. But Rav Papa says it can't be his last takana. His last takana instead, Rav Papa suggests, is the Kerem Ravai. It's the grapes that have to go into... That must be it, because the Lashon Shel Zahoris doesn't make any sense.
It seems from the flow that he's contradicting himself.
Who is?
Rav Papa.
No, Rav Papa is the one who's saying it's not the string.
Who's bringing the proofs?
Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says it's the string.
Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak.
Rav Papa says it's not the string, it's the grapes. Okay?
Okay. And
don't go mixing up your strings and your grapes.
Bar Papa is bringing these...
No, Rav Nachman Bar Papa. No, not Bar Papa. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Not Rav Papa.
He's bringing the proofs.
Rav Nachman is bringing the proof. He believes
he's
that...
He's bringing the proof of the string. The string being the final takana.
And Rav Papa is knocking that off.
Okay, but he's
yeah,
not
but
bad.
I haven't seen Rav Papa's proof, have we?
Yeah, we just proved it, because he said, A, the last 40 years was when he was making takanos. B, 40 years before the Churban Bayis, there was no longer a whitening of the string. And C, he made takanos after the Churban Bayis, which means he could not have been making a takana more than 40 years before the Churban Bayis. And yet, we know that the string stopped turning white 40 years before the Churban Bayis. So if the string already stopped turning white, why would Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai need to make a takana to get rid of the string altogether? Or to get rid of the string from Yerushalayim?
Why not?
Why yes! It doesn't work anymore. The string doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work, but you still need a takana to get rid of it.
Why would I want to get rid of it if it doesn't work anyway?
Wait, the working isn't. It's based on the listening with the Jewish people, right? It's working or not working based on
40 years before the Churban Bayis. The Klal Yisrael was not on the level to be getting a string that turned white or red.
All right, but when we eventually hit that level again, we would have that schluss back, right?
Perhaps.
So maybe that's what the takana.
I don't know if he would make a takana for something that might happen in the future. Although we did see that he made a takana lagabe. The omen, which which was only for the future, right? I mean, the takana that the all day of the 16th of Nisan, you can't eat the chadash. Right, because it might come back between after.
I'm totally confused.
That's a little bit, right?
Because it seems like.
All right, I don't know. This is very interesting.
And it seems like somebody's contradicting their proof.
No, remember, there are two people. There's Rav Nachman Yitzchak's proof.
Of what?
Rav Nachman Yitzchak suggests that the takana was the string.
Yeah.
Okay? Rav Papa knocks that off by saying the string no longer worked during the times of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai.
Okay.
So if it didn't work, why would Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai even need to make a takana? That's Rav Papa's proof.
Why would he not need to make?
Because it doesn't work. The string is bottle.
True. Okay, but because it's bottle, you have to change it so that the people are not despondent every year.
They can't be despondent because it doesn't. They couldn't look at it and be despondent because it doesn't work anyway. You know, if you try to turn your car on and it doesn't go, you're despondent. But if your car is broken and you know it's broken, you're not despondent when you try to turn it because it's broken. So the Lashon Zahoris was broken. It wasn't working. So what are you saying? You have to get rid of it because they're going to be despondent? Why would they be despondent? It's broken.
Maybe a car you can fit more easily.
I think it's time to go on. All right, I hear what you're saying. I completely disagree. But I kind of hear what you're saying about the future. I have to look into that. At any rate, I reserve the right to disagree. I'm taking that reservation.
No problem. I mean, these guys disagree.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, v'idach, what does Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak say to this? He says, Oslam Arboim Shana Delamad. That 40 years that he was learning was not actually just learning, because Talmud Yoshev Lifnei Rabo Hava. See, he was very, very high up. So when the Sanhedrin would learn and would make their takanos, he was sitting mamish right in front of them. He was a Talmud Yoshev Lifnei Rabo. He was sitting right there. He had box seats to this whole thing. The Amar Milsa V'Yestabri Taimei. And he would say things. He would say things that should be takanos. And he was very mistaber. They were looking at him like, this guy knows what he's talking about. V'Kav'e Rabbe Bishmei. And therefore, his Rebbe made the takana in his name, in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's name. Even though Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't make the takana because he was just a Talmud Yoshev Lifnei Rabbo, but when he would say a svara, the Rebbeim would be like, this guy's on the ball. We're going to make a takana and I'm going to call it in his name. So Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak says that even the 40 years that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was learning, he wasn't simply learning, he was also making svaras and Talmudic suggestions that were incorporated in takanos. And therefore, even during the time that he was learning, where the Lashon Shel Zahoris, the string, was working, he made the takana. And that takana was attributed to him, even though he didn't have the authority to make the takana officially, it was attributed to him because his svaras were very sharp. We're going to stop here. At some point, we do need to do a little bit more than the Amud, but this is enough for today. It's a 42-minute shir, and I promise 32 minutes, so I owe you guys 10 minutes. We'll take it off of the Siyum time.
Why do you make it more than Amud?
What?